Just go with me. I want to preach to you on this thought, a sinner's encounter with the Savior. Let me tell you something about sinners, church. Every sinner needs one thing more than they need anything else in the entire world, and that is to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Jesus said: I have come to seek and save that which is lost. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, Paul the Apostle said, of whom I am chief. And every single person who falls under the category of being a sinner needs to meet one man more than anybody else, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to this woman on this day was she had an encounter with the one person that's ever existed that could actually fix the problem that she had. So I want to start from the beginning this morning. Jesus was up in the mountain with his disciples, and as was his custom, he decides it's time to go into the temple. We're going to go in, and I'm going to do a little teaching. Thank God our Savior didn't hide nothing from us. So I want to begin here, number one, with a misunderstanding of worship. There were two types of worshipers in the temple on that day. Look at what your Bible says, verse number 2. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. What I see here in the text are two totally different and divergent forms of what both groups of people would call worship. You see, the dictionary defines worship as essentially giving honor to one who is greater. By either word or deed or action or whatever it may be. There were two divergent points of worship going on in the temple in that day. There was a group of people who had gathered together for the purpose of hearing, notice what your Bible says, listening. That's a good word. You know there's a difference in hearing and listening? Amen. I mean, sometimes my wife says stuff to me and I hear it. Careful. But you can tell I ain't listening because I don't retain the information. Are y'all with me? Say amen. I just call it me since I don't get y'all in trouble. Hearing and listening are two different things. There was a group of people who came to the temple for the purpose of hearing Jesus teach and preach the word of God and listening. What does that mean? That means taking it in to them. You know what the result of listening is? Listening, the result of listening has to be action. When you listen to something, you got to do something about it.
Right.
And then there was another group. There was a group that saw it as their form of worshiping God by bringing unto him a case for condemnation. They brought in, they went out of their way to go and track down a person that was squarely convictable of sin. Right. And brought her into the temple before Jesus. And I believe with all of my heart that their feeling on the matter was that what they were doing was worship as much as any worship is worship. They were honoring God in their minds by bringing a case for condemnation before Jesus. They were giving him an opportunity to do what they thought that God existed to do, which was to condemn sin and condemn sinners. The people were worshiping through their willingness to learn. Mm-hmm. The Pharisees were attempting to worship through their condemnation of sin. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you something, church? This is a dangerous line to walk. If we're not careful, we will get to a place where our only connection with God is a hatred of sin. Mm-hmm. And hear me out, church. God hates sin. Mm-hmm. God hates sin. That's indisputable. But if the only connection point we have with God is condemnation, then we're missing out on grace.
Amen.
If the only connection that we have with God is a list of what is wrong, then we will never get to experience what it feels like to do right. To be right with God is not about only a removal of sin from your life. It is to be connected to Him in an intimate way. It is to be, you know what them other people were doing? They were hearing His voice. They were taking it in. The Pharisees never were not there to hear His voice. They were only there to confirm their desire for condemnation, because they saw that the only understanding they had of God was that God was somebody who existed so that sin could be sought out and condemned and convicted and destroyed, and sin could be run away and stoned and left for dead. Are y'all listening to me? But the people were listening to Jesus, knew from His teaching, and I can tell you this morning that Jesus exists for a whole lot more than the condemnation of sin. I am not excusing sin this morning, but I am saying this. Hey, there is a way in which I am glad that I am a sinner, Brother Brian, and that's because that puts me in the group of people who Jesus came to seek and save. Are you listening to me? If you're not a sinner, you don't need a Savior. I don't know what to tell you this morning, but the reality is that our sin gives the opening for us to be redeemed. The Bible says in the New Testament, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you listening to me? Condemnation is what is in the past. And listen, conviction brings us to a place of conversion. The Bible says the law is a schoolmaster. The law exists not only to condemn sin, but to convict you of sin so that you can be converted. There's two types of worship. Listen, if we're not careful, our worship will become, look how great we are, look how sorry everybody else is. If we're not careful, we'll get so stuffed up in here, man, that all that matters to us is how pretty we are on Sunday morning. Let the world die and go to hell. Look at us, though. How great we are. Say, preacher, that's crazy. Oh, ride with me. We get out at 11, everybody else is starting at 11. Ride with me. I can take you to some of them places. I'm talking about where the only connection that they have to God is their condemnation toward everybody else. You know? And they see that as worship. The Pharisees saw what they were doing as a sacrifice, a form of worship. Hey, look, God. It's like when your dog goes outside and comes back to the house and brings a dead bird in his mouth. And he says, hey, look what I got. I got a gift for you. That's what these Pharisees were doing right here. They were saying, hey, God, look, we brought you a gift. Here's a sinner to kill. Hooray! The problem they had, the reason why their worship was manipulated and perverted, was they didn't understand that they too were sinners. That's where they missed it. They had a misunderstanding of worship. Worship is not about us being the hands and feet of God's condemnation. Worship is about us being open to God's grace. Worship is about us acknowledging the grace of God, not enacting the condemnation of the wrath of God. Listen, when I got saved, here's what I thought, Trent. Before I got saved, here's what I thought. I thought that God was sitting up on His throne with a lightning bolt in each hand, just waiting for me to mess up. Pow! Gotcha! But I've learned that God is much more like a father. Yep. Who is graciously walking with me to help me on my path. A misunderstanding of worship. Then I want you to see this. There was a confounding solution. Look at verse number 6. This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. Now here's what they did. They said, we're going to come in here. We're going to do this. You're going to go one or two ways right here. You're either going to kill this woman because the law says stone her. Which I don't even have time to get into all the historical context of that. If they stoned every adulterer they caught in the first century, they'd been a pile of dead bodies 10 foot high outside the city, but that's a whole other deal. This particular time, y'all know I like chasing rabbits. They said, we're going to give you two options, Jesus. If you're really who you say you are, then let's kill this woman because she's a sinner. Or don't do that, and then we're going to have something, some ammo against you. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. As usual, Jesus didn't do what they expected him to do. As a matter of fact, what he did really didn't even make no sense. I want you to picture this scene. The Pharisees come in. They've got this adulteress under their arms. I don't want to be too out of bounds here or whatever. I mean, probably any theologian would make the assumption that this woman was probably naked. They caught her in the act of adultery. Threw her down in her most vulnerable state at the feet of Jesus and start talking to Jesus. And they said, hey, here's somebody caught in adultery. What you going to do? You said, what does Jesus do? He leaves their level and goes to her level. Look what your Bible says. The Bible says he stooped down and he wrote with his finger on the ground. Now, what did he write? I don't have no idea. I don't know that it even matters. But look what it says. This is what matters. Look at that last phrase. As though he heard them not. They talked to him, they talked to him, but he talked to her. And then when he addressed them, he at no point did he address the fact that this woman had sinned. Look at what the Bible says now. At no point, he never called her an adulteress. He never, with the Pharisees, addressed the sin of this woman. You say, why? Because that was between him and her. Your sin's between you and God. It's not between everybody else and you. And it's certainly not between everybody else and God. Look what he says. He stands back up because they keep talking. You ever try to ignore somebody and they just won't shut up? Some of y'all were thinking about me when I said that. They just kept talking. They said, what are you doing now? Get up here. We're talking to you right now. You're going to address us. He stood up and he looked at these men. And he said, I tell you what. Instead of talking about her sin, let's talk about your sin. He said, whichever one of y'all ain't got no sin, go ahead and start chunking rocks. Now, here's where the supernatural power of Jesus enters into the chat. Because on a normal day in a normal situation, these Pharisees probably would have said something like, well, no, all my sins dealt with, give me some rocks. But something about the way Jesus said it. Something about the power of his presence. Look what your Bible says. Their own conscience convicted. You know what I've learned about sinful people? Sinful people know they're sinful people, and they know what their sin is, and they know that it's sin. Amen. These men knew. Not only did they know that they had sinned, but they realized in this moment that they had come up against a force that was not like what they were used to dealing with. He said, whichever one of you is without sin, cast the first stone. They said, I ain't touching that one. The Bible says from the eldest to the least. That makes sense. That's just a little pride thing right there, but that makes sense. They left out. So what does Jesus do next? And again, he stoops down on the ground. He got back on her level. I'm glad this morning. I'm glad this morning for the day when he got on my level. Hey, listen to me now. He doesn't exist on my level in his natural state of being. He's so far above what I am capable of attaining to. But I'm glad this morning that he got down on my level. I'm glad when he got to my level on this earth, when he put on a body of flesh and he suffered and died on Calvary to get between me and God. But I'm glad for November 10th, 2013 in Cornerstone Free Will Baptist Church in Walsenburg, North Carolina, when the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings got down on my level. And listen, he put his hand on me and changed my heart and changed my life and had a direct interaction with me. It wasn't about nobody else. It wasn't about the preacher's sin. It wasn't about the preacher's perfection. It wasn't about somebody else's word. It was about me and him. Listen to me, in my mind I can see as he stooped down to her level and he said, let me talk to just you for a minute because everybody else needs to hush and get out of the conversation. Hey, listen, what Jesus did might not have made sense in the moment, it was unusual, but I'm telling you, it worked. Amen. Here's the thing about the work of God. It don't always look like you think it's going to look, but it always works.
Amen.
Hey, I think about when Jesus opened them blinded eyes, and the Bible said that he spit on the ground, and he made clay with his spittle, and he rubbed it on the man's eyes. Hey, that don't make no sense to me, Trent. I don't understand why he had to do that. I don't understand why he felt like he needed to do that. I know in my heart that he didn't have to do that. But that's what he did. And listen to me, them blinded eyes come open, and that's what's really important. See, why did he do it like that? I don't know, but it worked. You know how many sermons I've heard preached on what Jesus wrote with his finger on the ground? And this is just how my mind works, church. I grew up rodeoing. We did a lot of playing in the dirt. Even now, if I'm standing in a gravel parking lot and we're talking, I'm probably going to end up with a stick messing around in the dirt. So what did he write on the ground? I don't know if he was just keeping his mind occupied, or if here's what I do know. My Bible don't say what he wrote on the ground, so it really don't matter. That's called getting off the point. that's called trying to fit something into a text that ain't there. Amen. You can take that one home with you for free. But ain't it just like Jesus to step in, act in a way that we can't understand, and provide a solution?
Amen.
A misunderstanding of worship. They thought they were worshiping when they brought her to him. But they missed it. If you came in here for the purpose of condemnation, you've missed it. A confounding solution. Let me tell you something about Jesus. In this situation and in your life, when he does what you ask him to do, I've learned this from my Bible and from experience, it will not be the way you thought it was going to be.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Do you really think when Moses had his back to the Red Sea and his front to the Egyptian army bearing down on him, and he was thinking, what are we going to do now? Y'all ever been there?
Amen.
What are we going to do now? I guarantee you it never crossed his mind, God's fixing to split this ocean right here.
Right.
And we're just going to walk through it. Guaranteed. See, when God gets involved, he does things his way. And a lot of the reason why we don't have God's involvement in our life is because we want it done our way. We want to deal with it our way. Let me handle it. Well, let me tell you something. The Lord can handle it in a way that you don't even, you can't even begin to comprehend.
That's right.
Then I'll give you number three and I'll be done. A blessed truth. Verse number 10. When Jesus had lifted himself up. I want you to notice what Jesus did here. He lifted himself up. Why? Because he had been down there with her. That means that while everybody else was standing around arguing over punishment and condemnation and all of that, that the Lord was down in the dirt with this woman. Church, that's what grace looks like.
Amen.
I've done preach this point before I got to it, but I'm going to give it to you one more time before I'm done. See, some of us live our lives down in the dirt feeling like I can't get to God because he's up here with all the religious crowd having a conversation over my life. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the Lord will get right down in the dirt with you.
Amen. Amen.
He ain't scared, Brother Brian, to put his fingers in the dirt.
Amen.
He ain't scared to get a little dirt under his fingernails, praise God. He ain't scared, listen, to get to separate himself from the religious hierarchy. He's not scared to go to where they won't go and do what they won't do. He's not scared to broach topics and subjects that seem like they're too much to handle. He's not afraid to get involved in a city. Hey, listen, if somebody walked in here right now and threw a woman down in front of my pulpit and said she was caught in adultery in the very act, I'd be scared to death. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. I do know that she's got problems, and I don't know if I want to get involved. Y'all listen to me. But Jesus ain't afraid to get right down there in her sin with her and say, hey, listen, if you'll just come with me, I'll lift you up out. Hallelujah. See, listen to what he asked her. He said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Here's what he did. He's down in the dirt with her. Everybody else is up here. By the time he stands up, she's saying, what about all these men that are accusing me? What about this thing I've done and I got caught in it? What about all this sin? And it's like the Lord stands up and says, who are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Look around. Woman, where are they at? Mm-hmm. Where are those thine accusers? They gone. When Jesus steps in, the accuser has to step out.
Amen.
The Bible says that Satan is our accuser. But listen, when Jesus stepped into my life, Satan had to find his way out. Are you listening to me? Woo! Y'all ain't getting this the way I'm getting it, but that's all right if it ain't for nobody else but me. Look at verse number 11. She said, no man, Lord. She looked around. She said, you're right. They gone. All my accusation, all my condemnation, it's disappeared from the room. This is the best part of the whole verse. Don't miss this. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee.
Amen.
Can I tell you why that's so good, church? Because there won't be one person in that room that legitimately, justifiably had the power and authority to condemn her.
Amen.
The condemnation of them Pharisees meant nothing in the grand scheme of things, but Jesus has the ability to condemn. Matter of fact, Jesus said, all judgment's given unto me. If there's anybody that can condemn you, it's Jesus. He's the only person here who made a legitimate choice when it came to condemnation. And he chose not to condemn her, but to extend grace to her.
Amen.
See, the beauty of the grace of God is it's a choice that God has made. I'm here to tell you this morning. You are not beyond His grace.
Amen.
When Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, he wasn't talking about the fact that he kept himself out of sin. He was talking about the fact that his sin was never so bad that God couldn't put grace over top of it.
Amen.
Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
I'll never forget, brother, we were talking about Brother John Dorsey yesterday. Brother John Dorsey preached a message on that verse one time. And he said, I want everybody in here, put your hands like this and get your wheelbarrows. He said, I want you to take all your sin and throw it in there. Get you a good pile up. He said, I will submit to you today that for every wheelbarrow full of sin you got, God's got a dump truck load of grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Hey, I can simplify that for you. There's more grace than there is sin. Hey, there's more grace than there is sin. The Bible says that He died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Hey, listen, there's so much sin. Listen, in this world that has refused to be covered by grace, I promise you this, He's got enough grace to cover your sins. You say, preacher, but I'm down and dirty. Things are bad. I found myself in a lonely place. Hallelujah this morning for a Savior who will get down in the dirt with you and have that conversation. Can I tell you this morning that what you need is not another pill. It's not another, hey listen, it's not another session. It's not another class. It's not another teaching. What you need is to encounter the Savior of mankind.
Amen.
And He'll give you what you need.
Amen.
Notice something. I'm done. Notice something. There is no more mention of this woman after that verse. Look what happens next. Jesus immediately starts talking about Himself to the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees left a while ago. So what did Jesus do? He went to where they were. Where's the woman at, Trent? I don't know. It's not relevant. Why? Because the location of a saved person is not a matter of the searchlight of Jesus.
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it don't matter where she was at because Jesus knew exactly where she was at.
Amen.
What she do next? I don't know. But whatever she done it while she was saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, listen. There was a singular problem that needed to be dealt with in her life, and it got dealt with. Some of y'all coming here, and I told you earlier, set aside all them problems, but some of y'all coming here carrying a bunch of burdens, and at the bottom of the sack is the fact that there's never been a day in your life when you trusted Jesus as your Savior and been born again. And I'm here to tell you this morning that's the issue that needs to be dealt with, not all that other junk. Hey, listen, you don't need to learn more. You don't need to read more. You don't need to do more. You don't need to work more. What you need to do is meet the one that this woman met and be saved this morning, be born again. And that is the change that will enact the things that you need going forward.
Amen.
I like what Brother Bud Stiltner said, the only pill you need is the gospel, praise God.
Amen.
So you come in here looking for how I'm going to make things better, but I come in here to tell you, the one that you need to talk to about that is awaiting a meeting. And here's what's going to happen. In just a moment, I'm going to go to the piano. We're going to open up this altar. I'm here to tell you this morning, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. I don't know who drugged you in here this morning. I don't know what situation you come in here dragging. But I know a Savior who has the power to intervene. Who has the power to remove from your life condemnation. The only thing standing between you and Him is your willingness to approach Him. See, the difference between you and this woman caught in adultery, she found herself at the feet of Jesus. You're going to have to bring yourself to the feet of Jesus. I want you to stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Every head's bowed, every eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. I've been doing this long enough to know if you're looking at me during the invitation, you need to be at this altar. Nobody's looking around. It's between me and you and God. I'm not going to call your name. I promise you I'm not going to embarrass you for nothing in this world. I wouldn't embarrass you. But I want you to acknowledge in your heart, between you and me and God, you say, preacher, I'm just not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you lift that hand, put it up, put it right back down?